It is only fitting that we recorded this interview during Shark Week because our guest today really loves sharks, which is great because there's like four shark things on my desk. So that definitely came up. But today we are bringing you yet another amazing interview. You know, they're all amazing. Everything we do is amazing. Another amazing interview with Robin Ottolini, who I've been following for a little bit. Thank you, Spotify, for just randomly suggesting it one day. You're going to love her. She's hilarious.
So awesome.
She's our Canadian country music queen, as I say. She was based outside of Toronto, but now she lives in Nashville. Signed her record label during the pandemic. Is just a master lyricist a la Taylor Swift and Hannah Montana, as we see, as the main sources of inspiration. I'm going to stop rambling and just let the interview speak for itself. I'm Leah.
I'm Beth Ann.
And this is Shiorakyu.
Where are they getting a dub in a CPS executive meeting?
No.
Bitch, don't touch my thermostat.
The ghost be like, hold up, before I haunt you, let me turn down the thermostat.
Who is this band?
We're on page one, guys.
This is Shiorakyu.
So tonight, I am very excited about this interview. I don't think I've shut up the last week to Beth Ann. I think
she
I texted
has
her
not
every
can
day.
Confirm. But that's okay. We like excitement here.
We are joined by Robin Ottolini, who I'm so excited to talk to. Our Canadian country music queen.
Yes.
How are you doing? I'm so excited to be here.
I know you're super tired, so.
You know what? That's when the best jokes come out, is when you're loopy.
This is facts. Straight
so
spit.
Whatever you want to know, hit me.
Okay. We're going to cover your deepest, darkest secret. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, here we go.
We'll start off with the history question, I guess, since we are a history podcast. Tell us about yourself and how you got into doing music.
Yeah, I've loved music for forever. My dad raised me on country music, like country radio. And I just always loved it. Nobody was like really musical in my family. It's not like my mom or anyone played guitar or sang, but something in me just really liked doing it. And then when I was 13, I started songwriting because I just loved like Hannah Montana and Taylor Swift. And I just thought everybody wrote songs. If you were a singer, you wrote the songs. So I just had no idea that there was a difference. So I was like, if I want to be a singer, I'm going to be a songwriter. And yeah, I wrote music. Yeah. And then I graduated high school and I moved to New Zealand for a couple of years. No, not a couple of years, for 9 months. I moved there for 9 months. Calm down, Robin. And then I came home and I was 20 and I said, screw it. I'll just go all in on the dream. So like I worked part-time as a waitress and a barista. And then eventually the dream kept snowballing. And I'd always say, one more year. Just give me one more year. And now I'm like, give me one more year because I feel like I'm just at the beginning. That's the quick one. Anytime someone's like, give me your history, I'm like, well, back when I was five, had a hard time.
You gotta have a musical ready. I'm just saying, you never know when you're gonna get asked to do a musical episode.
Never know.
Start working on that jukebox musical now.
That's right.
So you had like an explosion in the pandemic thanks to our friend TikTok. Tell
what
us
a
about
weird,
that.
What a weird time to go viral. But also probably wouldn't have gone viral if the pandemic wasn't awful. It was crazy. I'd released F-150 in February of 2020, and then the pandemic hit mid-March, where I live at least, and then it just kind of shut everything down. So the first time in my life I was getting paid to stay at home and make content and do music. So I kind of like started songwriting every day, obviously, and promoting my songs. And TikTok was new. Somebody told me, well, I just like TikTok. So I like would make the random lip sync ones where I'd be like doing comedy. don't know why that was my first thought. And then my neighbor was like, you should put your music on TikTok. Like, I think people blow up on there. And I was like, whatever, sure. And I started whipping some up and bada boom, bada bing, F-150 went viral 6 months after it was released.
That's insane.
That's cool.
It's pretty neat. And then from there, I got signed to Warner Music Nashville and WME, which is my booking agency. And yeah, ever since like the gates have been open, and ever since, you know, we've been navigating all the rules and following everything to the T, because why wouldn't you? And yeah, so we've just been playing shows when we can. And now it's like festival season. It's like back in full swing. So I'm just, whoo! Sorry, my computer's, I'm holding it, so it's better lighting for you guys. So I'm just.
No, I personally love the rave vibes that you're putting out right now. So.
Well, here's the thing. This is my festival hair from yesterday.
Amazing.
I just looks great. Got a chance to shower. So I put a hat on.
It works. It works. Okay.
It looks dope. I noticed the braid and I was like, hey, get it, girl.
I was actually watching your TikToks while I was like killing time before this. And I was watching the one where you did like the random facts. And you said your spirit animal is a shark. So I had to dig out my shark koozie for you.
I was wondering why you had that the last interview.
I wonder. I have a shark toy, but I think it's on the ground somewhere.
There's also a shark squishmallow that lives on my desk.
I love it. Yeah. You know, I should get one of those weighted animal things for like anxiety. I should get the shark. Mm. Just hug it. But that's why I'm my dog.
Yeah.
Hug it. So that works out.
A weird animal.
I got a tattoo. I got a shark picture up there, but I'm not going to turn around my camera because you will think I'm disgusting and very messy. But to be honest, I'm just never home. So that's the life. Good.
Trust me, it doesn't get much better as you get older. There's still laundry on my bed right now. So.
Perfect. Perfect.
At least yours has made it out of the dryer because mine is not. It's still there from this weekend.
Oh,
at
wow.
At least
yours
made it into the washing machine. We could just like keep going.
You just got home. That's your excuse.
Yeah, yes. There you go. We have no excuse. We're just lazy.
You're not lazy. No, you're efficient. That's what
there
I
you go. That's exactly lazy, right.
So as you are pursuing your music career, what made you choose country music specifically other than... It's what you're raised on. Like, not everyone goes into the music they're raised on.
I'm learning being in the industry. Cause like before I was signed, I was up in Canada. I wasn't in the Nashville scene and meeting people. They're like, yeah, I grew up on heavy rock or I love metal and I love this. And I'm like, but they're like, but country, you know, is just kind of where I go. And I'm always like, I've always loved country music. So I'm always like so surprised meeting people. And like, I'll go and I'll listen to country music for fun. Like, that's what I enjoy. And then you hear all these guys after their shows just like rock and hard metal. And I'm just like, this is not how I was raised. But no, it really is. It's like what I grew up on. I love the storytelling. I love the lyrics. And I feel like, you know, country music needs women with cool lyrics. So I wanted to be here. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of cool lyrics, you just released my personal song of the summer, Say It.
Thank you.
Tell us about that songwriting journey.
Yeah, that one, I came in with that idea. I didn't come in with the name, though. I came in with the concept, and it's like, I want to take the things that I wish it said, say it to myself instead. And just like a bunch of compliments, and then when you get to the end of the chorus, you get it. And I wrote that with Emily Falvey and Nate Miles like a couple months ago. Like, we wrote it and then we're like, yeah, we like this song, it's going out. And it's just, yeah, it's like a love letter to me, but you don't realize it's a love letter, you know, to yourself until the end of the chorus. And I just love, I love songs like that, you know, make people go, oh shit. And Emily Falvey like really helped put it out of the park with the lyrics, and Nate Miles killed the demo. So I'm just really happy about it.
That's awesome. It's one of those roll the windows down, turn the music wide open, going down a back road songs.
It's bumping. Yeah. And I'm enjoying it because I'm playing it in my live show now and at festivals. And there was this little girl at my concert yesterday, and she had a sign and she said, you deserve all the compliments. # say it.
Oh.
Like, she's so young. I was like, you say it to yourself, girl. Like, you grow up and be amazing.
Love
that. So yeah, that like moves in my heart. And I don't feel like I've had many signs at concerts, and there was two or three yesterday, and I was just like, that's so dope. That's so dope.
That's amazing.
Anyway.
Congratulations on the fans bringing signs.
Thank you.
And also, congratulations, great segue, on your nominations for the CCMAs.
Woo.
How do you feel?
That that's so crazy because I got Rising Star last year and I just felt somewhere in my tummy. I was like, you know what? You get Rising Star, like you get nominated and then you might not get nominated the next year because like you're still on the up and up. Don't stress. And I heard about, and then I heard I got Fans Choice first and I was like, that's insane. I wonder how that's calculated because like, to me, having one fan is really neat, but having enough fans to be nominated for Fans Choice Award is insane, you know, especially because I did get signed over the pandemic. So I haven't been able to see the impact of my music in person and going to concerts and playing them. And I'm just like there's real people at the other end, which is insane. So to think that I got nominated for Fans Choice is nuts. And then female artist. And I'm up there with some of like the best, well, I do it the best of Canadian females. And I'm just like, I'm stoked. How lucky am I? I don't know. Pretty stoked. See, the loopiness is coming out.
I'm hearing some New York accent coming out. And I'm appreciative of that as a New York Italian.
Italian? Yeah, it's the last name. I love accents though. I met Seaforth yesterday and they're Australian. So I was like, oh, how you doing, Maya? Don't even worry about it. It was just a lot of fun. I love accents.
I love that. Sometimes you just morph into the accent of the person in front of you. Like I feel that sometimes. Like there's people I've met and I can just like tap right into their accent and I try not to because I don't want them to
always warn them.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird.
I do. I'm like, I love your accent and I'm going to start doing it right in front of you. And they're like, all right, cool. And I was like, there's just no stopping it. I just need to mimic the sound.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I always give a forewarning.
There you go.
So let's talk about your merch for a second because it's really cool and really awesome. And I want to know what was the inspiration for this thrifted, self-made merch.
Yeah, well, I try to thrift everything. I think I buy like maybe 4 new articles of clothing a year. But mainly I just thrift everything because I was like, how can I help the environment? And to me, just secondhand clothes was the easiest change I could make right off the bat. And I'll slowly like make other changes as I go. But yeah, it was like super easy. And then when it came to making a merch line, I didn't feel comfortable making new clothes and then selling it for a profit. And it's just not who I am. I've been thrifting for like 5 or 6 years. And I was like, why would I have an extension of myself, i.e. my merch, that isn't true to me? And so me and my manager collaborated and we're like, how do we do this? And we just went out and thrifted all these shirts, handpicked them. And then my friend Connor designed the shirts and then we got them printed. And we get them distressed by a local artist to me in Ontario. And he distresses them and bleaches them and makes them all one of a kind. So it's like all different sizes, all different colors, all one of a kind. But they're all unique, just like all my fans.
I love it so much.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then, you know, when you're buying a shirt, you're not just buying anything. Mm-hmm. You're buying something that was like loved and stuff. And it doesn't hurt the planet. So I love that.
What That's is your best sweet. Thrift score that you've ever found?
See, I'm not like a big like designer person. I'm not like, ooh, I found designer. Like all my clothes are thrifted. So I don't know if I have a best find. I'm looking at my floor right now at all my clothes. What one do you like? Honestly, my stylist helps a lot too. Now that I'm a bit busier, she'll go out and thrift things for me and bring them back.
That's amazing.
And my Say It music video, she recently thrifted a pink sweater and I'm obsessed with it. And that's my favorite. And it's like this random sports goods sweater, but it's my favorite thing. So screw the labels, you know, I just love that.
I love that so much.
I like thrifting Converse because I like to wear Converse. So
I can never find good shoes. Our thrift stores here suck.
Yeah, they're not the best.
Well, there's thrift stores and then you can always try Facebook Marketplace because sometimes people will like, especially mid-pandemic, people were doing so much online shopping and buying the wrong sizes of clothes. And then they're like, I'm just gonna throw it out, so like who wants it? So that's where I also get some of my nicer clothes. At least
everyone here wants Facebook Marketplace to be like a business, and I'm like, no, don't resell your shoes for $5 less than you bought them.
I always try. I have 10 pairs of Air Jordans yes. going for $400 a piece. And I'm like, you just bought 10 Air Jordans to try to start up a business, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, those are lame. Where are you guys?
We're in Virginia.
Virginia! Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's so exciting. See, you meet people from all over. That's so cool.
Yeah, I've lived here for about, 10 years? You've lived there for, your whole life, Leah.
Sorry, so. I froze. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, we're talking about you from Virginia.
Virginia.
Oh, my internet connection is unstable. Thank you, Zoom. I was not aware.
I'm scared mine's going to go unstable. I'm in the country.
Oh, you're good.
I'm in the country, so and it was storming earlier. So,
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Double strike.
Careful of those storms. Yeah, they'll get you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big tree down on the road, redneck with a chainsaw when I came home from work. It is what it is.
Getting it done.
He cleared the road.
It is what it is. I can't sing low.
So you mentioned it is festival season and you have lots of shows coming up. Any other big plans for the rest of this year?
I'm trying to get new music out, but I want to do it right, obviously. And so that's on its little journey. And then I'm going to be touring with Tim Hicks in the fall, which I'm excited about. We got the CCMAs in September. So slowly but surely getting through festival season, maybe have some not off time, but some writing time in Nashville in August. We'll see though. You never know where the wind blows in this industry. You wait, you look a month ahead and you're like, oh, I'm wide open. And then the month comes and you're like, I'm so busy.
It's the same in the podcasting world.
Yes.
Because we are extension of the music industry. Yeah. We'll look at our schedule. Me and Liam were like, oh, we really have nothing scheduled. Then in a week,
it's
10 PR releases come in. We're like, never mind. We're busy.
We went on vacation for a week, the same week. And we came back and there were 30 inquiry requests. And we're like, what the heck? We've never had this many requests ever. I mean, some of them are spam, but.
Yeah. But that's a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're waiting on an email for us, sorry.
We apologize.
We were
busy. I am the worst texter bar. I can't text back to save a life. So I don't blame anybody for not responding to an email. Unless you're my manager, then respond. Just kidding.
Yeah. The important people need to respond. That is true.
Yeah. Exactly.
For everyone else, 1 to 3 business days. We'll see.
If that.
Yeah.
For sure.
True.
One very random question I just have to ask is please tell me about the raccoons you rehabilitated because raccoons are my favorite.
So someone in my hometown posted that she'd found these 2 baby raccoons on the side of the road. And the rest of the babies that were with them had been hit by cars and the mom was just nowhere near. So it wasn't someone found them in their yard and then the mom, it was they're going to die. So she picked them up, but she has dogs that would eat them. We have a lot of dogs, but none of them would eat a raccoon apparently. And I told my parents, I said, we'll just have them for a couple days or 2 weeks and the rescue is going to take them and it'll be okay. And then the rescue was we changed our mind. We can't take them. We're too full. And so I called every rescue in Ontario and I was like, we have baby raccoons and all of them were full. They're like, sorry, we can't take them. I was like, what do I do? Because technically it's illegal to have raccoons.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I am. And so I was like, what do I do? And they're like, well, you can either break the law or let them die. And I was like,
break the law. Break the law for raccoons.
So I was like, I kept telling my parents, one more week. And then, we had them I got them in April and we had them till November.
Oh my gosh.
Shout out to my rents. They're great. My parents are huge animal people and they obviously fell in love. Who's not going to fall in love with 2 baby raccoons? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So their names were Pete and Davidson. Pete Davidson. Before he was dating Kim. Okay, I'm ahead of the curve. No, but they were really great. We got them when they just were opening their eyes. So I bottle fed them and I'd wake up every 4 hours to feed them. And it was spectacular. I felt so needed and loved. And I should never be a mother until I'm ready because I'll give everything to the child. Insane. I just raised them, taught them how to play in water, taught them how to climb trees. And then I was recording my EP at the time. And then when June hit, the border opened, and immediately I went on radio tour for F-150 in the US. So my dad started taking care of them for me, which is so nice. So I got them in their cute, cuddly stages, and my dad got them in like their terrible two stage.
The toddler stage.
Like tear around and follow him everywhere and climb up him and just like never give him a break. So shout out to my dad for really raising those boys. And then eventually they just like would go out in the trees and then come back at night to sleep and do that. And eventually it like swapped. They'd sleep all day, come back at night and eat and then go back out. And then eventually they just stopped coming back. Aww. So
well, you raised them to go on their own.
Exactly.
And venture so, into yeah. the world.
That's amazing.
That's my raccoon story.
I love that so much.
Yeah. We're in the country, so we're like right next to a whole forest and there's no neighbors to our back because we're like we're at the dead end. So hopefully they're thriving, but we kept them alive until they could keep themselves alive. And from then on, nature is nature. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're
smart. They're fine. They're probably doing what our raccoons here do and stealing the outdoor cat food at night. So like they're fine.
100%.
And they got like feistier too as they got older. Like we really tried to like make sure they were wild. So one was very cuddly, but the one started to just like every time they saw us, I was like, I raised you.
He's like, but I'm a wild animal.
Yeah. So by the end of it, they would only let my dad and me pet them and nobody else could go near them or they'd run away. So I think we raised him right, which is good.
You broke the law, but for
that was like the longest story. But I was like, I could talk about the raccoons all day.
I love raccoons. They're like, I want a raccoon so bad. But
we're big raccoon followers on this podcast. So
you got some raccoon followers.
Yeah.
My friend Lydia, who's also a songwriter, she always sends me raccoon memes. And she sent the funniest one today. And it was like, let me see. She's in my inbox. Where do I go? It says, you don't always have to be a strong cowboy. Sometimes just being an alive cowboy is good enough. And I was like, that is a little cowboy.
Aww.
Good times.
Before I throw it over to Beth Ann for our lightning round questions, where can people find you online?
You can find me at Robin Ottolini, which is RobinOttolini. And I'm on pretty much every social media app. So come hang out with me. I try to keep my content entertaining because life is short and you want to be entertained.
That's right.
Crazy. Okay. Anyway, hit me with the rapid. This is my favorite.
Okay. So we all have dogs here. So this is just coming on the top of my head. Name a dog that matches your vibe, both at home and on stage.
Like a breed?
A dog that matches my vibe.
Yes.
Probably my dog. Pomeranian Chihuahua. Aww. I have a lot of energy, but I'm super loyal. And I just, you know, want to be adorable and cute and everyone to pet me. No, just kidding. probably my dog breed or a Rottweiler. I've always loved Rottweilers.
That's
but
cute.
I'm not too aggressive. We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, that depends on the day.
Yeah. I feel that. But I think I'm a Pomeranian Chihuahua.
Nice. Name like a food that everyone in Canada needs to try. Like us going to Canada, what's that food we need to try?
Poutine.
Yes.
Poutine slaps. Have you tried it?
I do want to try it. No, I haven't.
Changed my life.
Slaps. Don't go to like McDonald's or Harvey's for it though. Go to like a
mom and pop shop.
Yeah, go to a indie and they'll serve you something right. Mm. Or you know what also sells is chip trucks. Go to a chip truck and they'll give you a nasty poutine.
God, a chip truck sounds amazing. Why don't we get that?
Because we're
you boring. Guys don't have chip trucks?
No, we don't have a chip truck. We have like fries.
We got lucky to get a taco truck here. Like the bar is low.
Yeah.
Chip.
And then sorry. And then what was my next question? What was the last thing you listened to on Spotify?
I use Apple Music for music, but on Spotify, I listen to podcasts and I listened to the Last Call Her Daddy episode.
Very nice.
And it had someone from the Hills, which I've never watched, but she keeps having people from the Hills on. So I got to watch it, I think. And It was about a girl who, one of the girls that was on the Hills was in an abusive relationship, and she shared how she got out of it and red flags to look for and stuff when dating men.
Nice. And then our signature question, if you could be any type of cereal, what would you be and why?
I don't eat cereal. Cap'n Crunch. I liked that as
good
a kid.
Good choice.
Slaps. I like
good
that
choice.
One.
Good choice.
It's good. Yeah.
Well, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. This was so much fun.
It's been a joy. Thank you for having me. So sorry my voice sounds like I smoked 100 cigarettes, but it turns out I just talk a lot, and that's my downfall, apparently. So thank you. It was a pleasure, and I hope you have a lovely day. To anybody listening, have a great day. Love yourself. If someone's not going to go compliment you, say it to yourself, baby. Robin Ottolini, out.
Thank you for listening. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you like this show. Special thanks to Death of Fawn for our intro riff. You can visit our website at shewillrockyou.com. There you'll find links to our social, the show notes, and a place where you can contact us. Other than that, don't do drugs.